For over 10 years, we've been bringing you killer metal music and frank discussions about heavy metal. Wait, who the hell is Frank? You are tuned into MSR Cast, brought to you by Mainstream Resistance. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek and Sean the Metal Pigeon. Keep it metal.
Hi, this is James Avera. I'm going back to old school. MSR Cast? Oh, come on. Yes, we've been around for a long time, and we're not going away. This is James Avera from Hellstar. Support your local scene.
Welcome, everyone, to episode number 215 of MSR Cast, your metal podcast. This is our year-end 2018 rewind, and I am one of your hosts. I am Kerry the Metal Geek, along with...
Sean the Metal Pigeon.
And we have some special guests tonight, because we couldn't do this alone. There's so much metal to discuss and to complain about as well, right?
Oh, yeah.
So we brought on our illustrious co-host... from the Metal Geeks podcast, Brutal Dave.
It's Brutal Dave. How you doing, everybody?
Bringing some brutal. Did you bring some brutal tonight?
I'm looking over my list. There's some brutality in there. Right. There's some mellow in there. There's some down.
You can't have brutality without mellowness.
If it's brutal all the time, how do you know? That's true. You got to have some dynamic in
you
there.
You acclimate to it, and then it's just normal.
Then it's normal. And so what's brutal anymore?
That's one of my core fundamental beliefs about metal.
Me too, actually. Yeah. So,
Beautiful disharmony.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I like.
Yeah.
The other voice you're hearing is friend of the show, Mr. Justin Corbett.
What's up, guys?
How are you doing, sir?
Pretty good.
I know you brought some different metal bands that might not be on our top albums, but we're going to get to that. How was everybody's 2018?
So long, don't let the door hit you on the way out.
Fuck yes, that's right.
I'm excited about 2019 is how I'd answer that question, I guess.
You know what? I went to more metal concerts in 2018 than I have in a really long time.
Yeah, me too.
That was a good thing.
A lot of good shows.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I went to less shows than I wanted to, for sure, but... 2018 was kind of a weird year for me.
It was a very weird year all around.
There was a lot of bad stuff, but
there was
the
good
stuff
too.
Was great.
Yeah,
that's true for me. There was a lot of bad stuff for me, but the good stuff was fucking awesome.
Yeah,
it's weird.
Yeah, that's the 2018 in a nutshell. I mean, I'm not sad to see it go. I'm looking forward to 2019, like Sean said. So that's all you can really do.
Before we look back on 2018, is there any albums you're looking forward to in 2019?
I mean, immediately I can think of Avantasia's coming
out. In Flames, right?
Get out. Don't get Sean started.
The New Swallow the Sun comes out very soon, a couple weeks.
Yeah.
That sounds intriguing based on what we've heard so far.
We watched their little short.
Their short.
Short film.
Creepy mini movie.
Yeah. It's beautiful, though. It was shot amazingly well.
And I guess there's a new song coming out tomorrow.
Yep.
From when we're talking about this. So Avantasia and that one. And then other than that, I'm not really looking ahead too much.
Soil Work for me.
Oh, yeah. That's
Soil Work comes out next week.
I think it's the 16th.
Yeah, soon. Yeah. We watched
a
video for that.
Yeah.
It sounds a lot like Night Flight Orchestra. I'm sorry.
Well, I can't go back now that you've heard it.
I know, but it doesn't sound different enough. The songs that I've heard, I haven't heard the full album,
right.
So the songs that I've heard doesn't sound different enough than Nightflight to be.
But I mean, Soil Work is one of those few bands that just seems to keep getting better with each album they release. So it's not like I yearn for the olden days of Soil Work. I look forward to the new Soil Work stuff. So I think it's going to be a great album. I'm really looking forward to it.
I haven't looked ahead too much. I don't have a lot on the horizon yet, but new Soen album comes out in February.
I was just about to say, I've actually heard it.
Have you?
It's really good.
I bet it is.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Lykea listened to it a lot this year. It got a lot of repeat value.
Revisited version they did? Amazing.
So, any new material from Soen, I'm looking forward to.
There's also the possibility that Blind Guardian will at some point later in 2019, probably towards fall, release the orchestral album finally.
I had not heard that.
So, this is exciting. Yeah.
That'd be cool.
So, what about you? Do you have any other albums besides Soil Work?
I honestly haven't looked that far ahead. I knew Soil Work was coming earlier this year.
So, for me, I know Swallow the Sun, of course. I know Anthrax is working on a new album sometime in 2019. I don't know exactly when or where. They say it's heavier than the last couple albums, which sounds good to me. Avantasia, of course. I'm looking forward to actually seeing them live in 2019. That's exciting.
Yes.
3-hour show, they say it's going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's going to be really cool. How can bands do that? You don't need 4 or 5 opening bands sometimes. Just an evening with.
We just saw a 3-hour show the other week.
We did see a 3-hour show with a 40-minute intermission or something like that.
It was a 10-minute intermission.
It was longer than that.
No, it felt like 40 to you because your back was killing you.
That's true. It was
10.
Was that the Stephen Wilson
show?
And you
beautiful
know,
show.
We were talking about like Quiet Loud before. Mm. Like that, when they got heavy,
dude,
it rattled your mind. That was so heavy.
I think that is one of the loudest shows I've ever actually heard at the House of Blues.
Oh, yeah.
Not the heaviest, but just the loudest. It was amazing.
Great audio visual. They had a huge like video wall behind them and like a lot of like videos that were synced to the music. And
I felt depressed after watching some of the videos.
I'm not nearly familiar enough with Stephen Wilson's work.
It was impressive enough, I think.
I wasn't until 2018, I'll tell you the truth. I've really got into him the second half of this past year.
Yeah.
Amazing. I'm also looking forward to new Hammerfall and new Candlemass.
Candlemass was on my horizon as well, yeah. I haven't heard anything of it yet. Have you heard anything from it?
I have. They've put out one song, I believe, because they have the original vocalist back.
Right, yeah.
And, I mean,
I was a little disappointed they didn't do a full length with Matt's Levin.
I love Matt's Levin's voice, but, you know, it...
It was just that EP, right? Or just that single?
Yeah, just that EP, yeah.
That was it, yeah. Oh, well.
I liked all their vocalists, so, I mean, it's a band that you can't say, well, I like one vocalist over another. I really like them all, truthfully. It's weird. I mean, I really liked Rob Lowe in the band.
I liked Robert Lowe in the band. That one was kind of cool for me because it's like he's from the Fort Worth area, which is, you know, I grew up in Dallas. And like,
I grew up listening to Solitude Eternus.
I knew people who knew him. Right. And so like that was kind of cool period for Candlemass. When
I got to see him a few years ago at this bar in Midtown that my friend go to. And I'm like, hey. There's this metal night thing, and you want to go? And I'm like, oh, yeah, who's playing? And I looked at it, and, like, Robert Lowe was doing, like, he had Andrew Atwood in the band from, you know, The Scourge and Hellstar. And he was just playing Solitude Eternus songs and Candlemass songs. I'm like, this is fucking amazing. And there was, like, 8 people there watching him.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on, guys. So I have a lot on my list. Let's go around. I have more than top 10, but... What we do on this show, we don't really call them top 10, but we're going to go in order this time. This is just our rewind. This is stuff that we listen to the most and we really want people to know about. So let's start with our guest first. What would be your number 10?
My number 10 was Calma, Palo. It's a really good album. I've been familiar with them for a long time. I've liked a lot of their stuff, but nothing else they've ever done has really quite been good enough to be in my top 10 list for the end of the year. I feel like Palo's kind of a leap forward for this band, and I really, really enjoy this album.
Very cool.
Yeah, I had fun listening to that one, actually. It was the first time I had taken notice of them in a long time, because those first two albums, I was all over that, like, way back in the day.
Yeah.
But this one was really fun, but it was, again, it was one of those albums I think I just never got around to coming back to, so I need to go listen to it to some more.
Definitely.
What about you? What is your...
10?
Number
was
10.
Eonian Dimmu Borgir.
Really?
Yeah.
That's... We talked about this the other day.
We did.
I'm going to let you say what you're going to say first, but I'll tell you why. It's on my honorable mention.
That 9th and 10th spot for my list were the hardest I've ever had to deliberate over, because I had to make so many hard cuts. I just listened to this album a ton. And if I listen to an album a ton, like, throughout the year, I can't ignore it when it comes time to make that year-end list in favor of something more fashionable. I just have to go, I listened to this thing a fuck ton, so it has to be on the list.
See, I had that one is maybe an honorable mention for me, and it might have ended up on my list if I'd spent some more time with it. I was mentioning before we started rolling that I had kind of put a system in place for myself for 2018 to try to get exposure to as much metal music through the year as I could, and it didn't work out quite as I planned. I was certainly exposed to a lot more music, but I didn't digest much more.
Yeah.
And so I'm taking steps this year. I've already got stuff in place to try to kind of deal with that. But it seemed like the Aeonian album, pardon me, came out to kind of mixed reviews. I didn't listen to it right away. But when I did listen to it, I enjoyed it. But it's not my favorite Demi Borgir album by far. But it is good. And I listened to it again the other day as I was going through this and making my list. And I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But not enough.
See, it made my list as well. It's actually number 8 for me. Demi is one of my favorite bands. They have been for a long time. This is not their best album. You're absolutely right about that. But it is really, really good. And it's extremely polished.
It is
probably
the
most polished album they've ever put out.
Very over it. Detrimentally, maybe a little overpolished.
You could say that, but I think that just speaks to taste.
Yes, so I agree. I think it's a great album. It's not definitely their best. And when it first came out, I listened to it 3, 4, or 5 times. It was me if an album pulls me in right away, which it did. But then more I listened to it, the more I don't want to say I got annoyed by it, but I'm like I got sort of bored of it.
Well. There's so many things coming out this year.
Yeah.
And it was really easy to like fall in love with it and then move on to the next thing.
Yeah,
I think
for sure.
That's what happened with me. Like it might have ended up higher on my list if I had kept listening to it as often as I did when it first came out. But
You're a bad man. You listen to the albums like 100 times.
I do. I mean, all I do all day long is listen to music while I'm at work, and I don't listen to songs. I listen to albums. So.
Right.
For me, Enthroned Darkness is their best album. I mean, it's just flawless. But
it's either that one or Death Cult Armageddon.
I think
it's Enthroned Darkness.
I think Death Cult is where my interest in them sort of slipped because I didn't really like the direction they were going.
I felt like that was the perfect middle ground between where they had
that.
That's
where my fandom really grew. I mean, I liked them before, but that Death Cult is just like
it just What I like about Aeonian is that it kind of reminded me a lot of Enthroned Darkness.
It did feel, I will say that the songwriting felt older to me. I agree with that, yeah.
Older songwriting, but more polished.
I had more fun listening to this album than I have their past like 3 or 4 or whatever, yeah. So, yeah.
All right, so did you do your number 10?
You know, mine's not a 1 through 10. I have 10 items, but they're not ranked. I have a top, but everything else is kind of loose
in between.
I guess my 10 would maybe be At the Gates to Drink from the Night Itself. So
it's a good album.
I liked it. And like I said, this isn't necessarily like the best metal of 2018. This was the stuff that I kept coming back to. And I listened to this album quite a bit this year.
It is very... It was definitely the typical At the Gate style, but they did definitely try new things on this album, which I really appreciated.
I think part of my excitement for this, and I have to admit that part of my excitement for a lot of these bands on my list probably come from the fact that I saw a lot of them this year. So I saw At the Gates this year, and you know that was my first time to see
them. Me too. It was actually my first time too.
And so that was really exciting as well, and I think that probably feeds my enthusiasm for this album a little bit. It's fairly standard At the Gates stuff, but
there was three. But
it's good.
There's like 3 or 4 times this year where I just put my playlist on shuffle, like all my music, and I have that album on there, and it would come on, and I'd be like, "Who is this? This is great."
Yeah,
and I'd look and I'd be like, "At the Gates, what?"
Yeah,
and I listened to the album several times as well, not just random songs, and the album itself is just good.
Mm-hmm.
But there are individual songs on the album that are great.
Yeah,
so I think that's why I didn't quite make my top 10.
I think that's fair. Yeah. And that's also why it kind of ends up, it barely made my list. Like it actually wasn't on my list until I ended up replacing something else with it because I listened to it a final time. I was like, I like this a little bit better. So
we all got to make those choices.
Yeah,
we do. My number 10 was something that sort of came onto my list a little bit late. It's, Cease the Day from In the Woods.
Yes.
Absolutely adore this album. It's everything I was looking for I've liked them before, but man, just the song Cloud Seeker, it just drew me in completely. And I'm like, I really love this album. Every listen, I was listening, hearing different nuances and everything, the clean vocals, the heavy stuff. It's, I think I described him before. It's a not polished, but Bortnagar meets like Enslaved in a way, you know, just that the rawness, but isn't that, but also that harmonical, that beauty in the album.
Yeah.
Great album. I hope everybody can check it out.
Ever since George admitted to loving it on the last
is that why you started hating it?
No, I went and started listening to it. I was like, all right, I got to go listen to this.
If George likes it, it's got to be either really good or really fucking horrible.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting at least, right?
Yeah.
Right. I got to check it out. I haven't heard that one, honestly.
I really love it.
I haven't either.
All right, let's move on to our number nine-ish. We're going to get into a couple songs in a few minutes.
My number nine was the Judicator album.
Really?
Yeah.
I know you've been talking them up for a while, and it's just one of those things that I didn't go back to, and I know I should probably.
It was just one of those.
You like it because Hansi's on it, right?
Well, that's a highlight. That song, that Spiritual Treason, was in my top songs of the year.
Yeah.
But no, the album, I just listened to this album to death, to where I got sick of it, and I was like, okay, I'm going to take a break, come back to it. But it was just, I mean, it's not exactly reinventing the wheel. It sounds like classic speed metal era Blind Guardian, but that's why I love it so much. So,
right.
Yeah.
You have a style.
Yeah.
So who is this?
It's a band from, they're based in Tucson. The vocalist is in Denver right now. They're called Judicator.
Okay.
And
what's the name of the album?
The Last Emperor. And it's just like, this particular album is very speed, like 90 to 92 era Blind Guardian.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, to where they asked Hansi to be on the record, and he was like, yeah.
Okay, I'll have to check it out.
Yes, you need to.
You would definitely dig this.
That sounds like I would, yeah.
What about you, Justin?
Well, mine is actually an album I discovered late last month or early this month. I don't really remember. Shilma Gognar.
Shimalaga Ding Dong.
So even though it's a latecomer, this album's just absolutely amazing.
I've only heard a couple songs off it. I found them during my review process for this. Mm-hmm. And it was in a pile of stuff that I hadn't really gone through yet. And I was like, man, this shit's good. It's not going on the list because I don't have time to get through it. But I can tell there's some good shit in here.
I've been listening to it almost nonstop since I discovered it.
I would definitely agree. It's not it didn't make my top 10. But since it's so new to me,
mm-hmm.
But it's in my top 15. It hits at 15 for me.
I kind of feel like such if I had album. More time with it, it would be higher on my list. That's how good it is. But just with the brief amount of time that I've had, I feel like it deserves a spot, but not a high spot.
The album is called Transient.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to play a song from that actually in our first set.
Awesome.
I encourage everybody to check them out. It's, you know how to pronounce it better than I do.
Shilma Gognar.
Shilma Gognar.
That's like a Lovecraftian.
It is, kind of. Yeah.
All right.
It's they're so great.
Mine, I guess, would be pick off my list. Probably Visigoth Conqueror's Oath. I think that was the first album in 2018 that I was excited about listening to.
Yeah.
That like it just grabbed me right away, and I was like, "This is just fun. This is just
heavy metal.
It's just old school heavy metal fun." Yeah,
it doesn't get much better than that, really.
Yeah, just solid.
They're coming here.
Solid, kind of pared down. You know, it feels like old school heavy metal and kind of power metal a little bit at the same time.
Through that traditional heavy metal style.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be playing in April here in Houston at the Hell's Heroes too.
Yep.
It's gonna be,
I don't think I'm going to be able to go to that. I'd like to. That sounds like a fun time.
Did we do your number nine?
Started with him.
Started with you. So it's my turn then. My number nine is actually Behemoth. I Loved You at Your Darkest. This album just attacked me like a virus. I fucking love this album.
It's going to be way higher on my list.
Way higher on my list too. Well,
that's okay. That's just where it is on my list. Yeah, it's just such a great album. And their live performance, I think it's one of the most accessible albums to a non-metal listener. I've never heard Behemoth before, but check this out.
I'm not sure I agree with that.
You don't agree with
that?
I'm
not either. Because it's like The Satanist was hard. The whole album was hard and brutal and just amazing. And this album, instead of trying to go harder, instead of trying to go more, you know, more of what that was, they went a different direction, and Nurgle made it more melodic and added in harmonies and choir songs and like all this weird shit that just made it mesh together so well.
But it's still brutal as fuck, though.
Like, it is.
That's where I get intense.
The brutality's hidden in between pockets of this weird melodic choir stuff.
And that's what I'm talking about, the accessibility. It's some of that aspect of it that before it's like, oh man, these guys are just way too hard and heavy for me, but there's stuff on this album that people can I can get into that.
I'm not sure that
the children's choir is still unnerving to me. It still makes me uncomfortable.
I'm not sure that Behemoth is meant to be accessible, though.
I don't think so either.
I'm not saying they have to be. I'm just saying
I think that they're one of those bands that like you really have to develop your ear in order to appreciate them. Because the first time I heard The Satanist, I wasn't sure what I was listening to. I was like, this is good, but like I don't see what everybody's talking about. And by the fourth or fifth listen, I was like, oh my God, this is the greatest album I've heard in a decade.
So Behemoth has for a long time been one of my very favorite bands. And when The Satanist dropped, my initial reaction was somewhat similar, that I'm like, this is significantly different than what I was expecting it to be. But then by several listens in, I'm like, this is probably my album of the year. And it turned out to be like no contest. It was like, this is my album of the year. And
my album of the decade.
It's that level of good.
Yeah.
It's a masterpiece album. And so I was not surprised at all that it took them so long to put out more material. I mean, they were even talking about not putting out more material. And I was like,
I couldn't blame
them. I don't blame you. How are you going to top
that pinnacle?
That?
You can't really top how, it. All you can do is do something different.
Yeah. And so I feel like this one is it still feels like a natural development from that point. A little bit more thematically, a little bit more experimental, but Nurgle's always been really out there in his thematic elements and the things that he draws from. I mean, obviously, like, Thelema has been a big part of it for a long time, and he draws in aspects of Hindu mythology and a lot of other kind of Mesopotamian mythologies and all this kind of stuff that all feed this kind of satanic Thelemic worldview. Mm-hmm. But he keeps finding interesting ways to do that, different ways to make the symbol sets do things. And that's what I love about Behemoth, because that's like my jam, is all of the like the weird occultism and the symbol sets and all that stuff and making them work together to do new things. I love it. And there's so much of that in this album.
And he's so good at it.
And he is good at it.
Yeah.
He's just a talented songwriter, really. I mean, no matter what he's working on.
Yeah, I mean, I really liked his Me and That Man project as well. Did you listen to that?
I haven't heard it, no.
I listened to a little bit.
Check it out.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's I guarantee, even if I described it to you, it's not what you expect.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's weird, because I actually like the new album a little more than Satanist. The Satanist ended up on my year-end list. This one didn't at all. And that's a testament to just how many good freaking albums were out this year. It just crowded it out.
I agree.
It was one of those hard cuts where I was like, sorry.
So let's take a break from our yapping about the albums. Let's listen to something. We're going to start off with the song is called The Dawn of Motion from the album Transient. And this is
Shilmagognar. We'll be right back.
To the best of 2018 episode. That was
Rewind.
I Loved You at Your Darkest by Behemoth.
That was
Ecclesia Diabolica Catholica.
Yes.
Fucking Nurgle.
He did that just for you.
I did, yeah. I picked it so that you would have to say it.
So this is your...
This was one of my song picks, yeah.
Song picks.
It's just... the whole album's good. I mean, I could have picked almost anything off of it,
yeah,
but this
true.
One has a particular.
It's the best song on the album.
It's particularly brutal and in your face and fuck you and yeah, it's
like
it's
I
good
said,
stuff.
Best song on the album.
Did they do this live? I can't remember.
Yeah, I think they did.
Okay.
I've seen them live twice this year, though. So you're not.
That's right. I did too.
Yeah, you did too.
The Anthrax Slayer show.
Yeah,
but they only got to play like what, four songs or five songs?
Yeah, it was an okay set. It was an impressive set though. Like of the bands that played like that length of playlist, they were probably the best performance.
Yes. Testament were damn good too, though.
I've seen Testament a bunch of times. I've seen Behemoth a bunch of times too, though. So I don't know. Testament nailed their 30-minute set, though.
Yes.
I'll give them that. Like, they fucking killed a 30-minute set.
I will not. We're not going to talk bad about the other band that we didn't. That, you know.
The band that should not have been playing.
Right. Where we could have had the other band have more time. Yeah, but let's not go there. The band, I was really bored when they were playing.
Yeah. Me too.
Thank you. It's not just me.
It's not.
I mean, not shitting on anybody if you like a certain band, but I just don't find them. Lamb of God.
Oh yeah.
That makes perfect sense. I have respect. Now you went for them, there, and I like. I like Randy Blythe as a person quite a bit. At least, I mean, I don't know him personally, but what I know about him, I have
his
a lot
public
of respect
figure,
for the guy.
I can respect him. Yeah.
Yeah.
They got a few good songs, but I mean, their albums is like too much of the same repetitiveness over and over again. So like.
It's really, I think that band to me, it's like, it's one of those bands that would be really impressive to you if they were one of your gateways into metal.
They're a great gateway band.
Yeah.
I think I can be down.
They're
going
to surprise the shit out of us one year and release an album that's like all melodic and shit. And we're just going to be like, oh my God, these guys are great.
Yeah.
Apparently, the guitar player, Mark Morton, putting out a solo album soon, and each song has like a different vocalist and stuff on it, and it proves to be a lot of interesting things on there.
I did see that on a releases list coming out. I might check that out.
Yeah, I'll give it a shot. I mean, why not?
Yeah.
Let's get back into our list. Let's start with Brutal Dave.
Okay.
What's next on your list?
Eight.
It
gets a little kind of fuzzy here.
yeah.
I'll go with... maybe put Mournful Congregation at this spot. How about that? So
I can deal with that.
Is that one on? Did that one make your list?
It's on my top 15.
Okay,
it's number 12 for me actually.
Okay, so did you guys check this one?
I haven't heard this one
at all. I haven't. No.
Do you know the band at all? I'm not real familiar with them. This was kind of my introduction.
My introduction was because of you.
I found them because of one of the like metal Bandcamp articles, which are pretty good. Like you should, if you haven't checked those out, they put out some pretty good articles. And this one was on the history of Funeral Doom, and their name came up, and it was a name that I recognized. I'd seen the name, but I'd never checked them out before. And so, based on the recommendation in that article, I checked this out, and it's Funeral Doom goodness. It is
so good,
slow, and. It's like, you know, if you listen to My Dying Bride and you need to bring the mood down a little bit, you can go.
But I mean, I've heard some Funeral Doom bands that are so slow, but they're just not, it's just not interesting.
This one has some melody and some atmosphere to it.
Exactly right.
This whole album is kind of, the album is called The Incubus of Karma, and the whole thing's kind of about this sort of, cosmic existential insignificance that it deals heavily with themes of the futility of any kind of existence because it's all going to end anyway.
Right.
It's not just the futility of life because you're going to die. It's kind of like that idea, but expanded cosmically, that nothing fucking matters. That, you know, real upbeat stuff here.
We all have those thoughts sometimes.
Debbie Downer listens to this.
Yeah.
Nihilism, the album.
Yeah. But it's interesting. It's, like I said, very slow, very trudgy, but there is kind of a sense of melody in there as well. So I actually listened to this one quite a lot this year.
I think it reminds me when Swallow the Sun gets to that slow, doomy portions. That's what this band reminds me of,
but all the time.
All right, who's next?
My number eight was Dimmu Ionian. We already talked about that. So Sean,
Immortal, Northern Chaos Gods.
Wow. That was another one that I didn't spend nearly enough time with.
I loved that album when it first came out, but I got tired of it real quick. It's probably in my top 15, honestly, because it is an excellent album, and it proves they can do everything without
that. That right there, yeah.
But I feel like it wasn't diverse enough for me.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that surprised me about that so much was that they were able to – Abbath is not there anymore. but he's able to somehow just pick up where they left off, not on All Shall Fall, which was kind of a mediocre plotting piece of crap, honestly, but like Sons of Northern Darkness, like take that kind of energy and that kind of guitar style and just marry it perfectly with those first four records. And it just sounded like they didn't he didn't miss a beat. Like I came into that album expecting, maybe this is part of the reason why I loved it so much. I was expecting to be talking about how much of a disaster it was. And instead I loved it way more than the Abbath record a couple years ago. And I honestly would say it's my top three favorite Immortal records. It's right there behind, Sons of Northern Darkness and At the Heart of Winter. So, it's great songwriting, just amazing riffs, good composition, great songwriting. I'm stunned.
Wow.
Stunned by that record.
Stunned by your reaction.
Yeah.
I feel like the first two songs are just incredible. And the last two songs are incredible.
The last two songs are the best songs.
Everything in the middle, you just kind of muddle your way through, and it's like, there's not a lot of diversity there.
I don't know. I didn't get that feeling. But the thing is, it could have been higher if it was just a little bit more, I don't know, melodic, I guess, in certain spots, maybe. Yeah.
I didn't give this album any kind of chance, really. I don't know why. I've listened to it a few times, but I don't know. I never really went back to it.
I love Immortal. They're one of my favorite bands.
Yeah. So,
I was really hoping this would be excellent, and it is really good. Like, it is my top 15, but I don't think it was good enough to crack my top 10.
My hope is that it spurs Abbath into, can kick their ass.
Yeah, I want to see like this battle between them, like who can put out the better album, because more good
then
black metal
is
good for everybody.
So my number 8 is probably something that's on your list. Probably sounds like it might be higher up now. Orphanland, Unsung Prophets and Dead Messiahs.
Yes.
Came out in January of last year, of 2018.
Yeah.
So it's been out for a long time.
Had to fight a lot of competition.
It did. Yeah.
This one, it almost made my list.
Yeah.
It didn't make the cut, but it was – part of that may have been how early it came out, and it just kind of fell by the wayside. Mm-hmm. But I did go back and listen to it last week when I was doing all this, and I'm like, yeah, this is really good, and I need to spend more time with it.
Yeah,
I revisited it too a few months ago. It's a really good album, but it's just not my type of album.
Right,
if that makes sense. So, like, I like.
Yeah,
it. Yeah,
I'm not sure that it would have made my top 10 even if I'd spent more time with it. I'm not, but it might have. It's certainly good enough that I would consider it a possibility. It is a really good album. Yeah. But like you said, I'm not sure if it's the kind of thing that would make...
That you would choose to listen to over and over.
Yeah, and and to that point, like, I haven't listened to a ton of Orphanland. I've liked what I've heard. I enjoy them.
I'm in the same boat.
Yeah, but I just don't listen to them a whole lot.
Yeah.
What did this come up on your list?
You want me to say it now?
Go for it. Let's do it.
There's number one on my list.
It's number one.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to spoil it all already.
For me, this – everything that – any criticism of the last record, All Is One.
Oh, yeah.
Where it was like, oh, the tempos are the same throughout. They took care of that. It's the most diverse record they've ever made. But they also did the smart thing of like all the orchestral sort of power metal-y elements they introduced on the last album. They incorporated them here, but they brought back the death metal. They mixed it up. So the songwriting is a vibrant album. It changes all the time.
It has Hanzi on it.
The concept is very – you don't have to get into the concept, but the concept is there, and it's engrossing enough to where if you've read like Plato, the Allegory of the Cave, the concept will suck you in, and the album takes on that much more like of a lyrical meaningfulness and –
I never drilled down to that level. I need to give it that attention.
And I don't know, it's just there's so many emotional spots in there. There's so much rich musical stuff going on. Not only just the Arabic stuff, but even the riffs are interesting. These two, the Chen Balbus and Idan Amsalem, the two guitarists, just like I thought this band would have a hard time when Yossi left, founding guitarist and everything. they rip this album apart. Just like the riffs are just crazy. The guitars are wild. Sometimes they have these Guns N' Roses-esque solos in the middle of nowhere. Just, I mean, creativeness.
Yeah. You know, a lot of it has a lot of meaning to me, the music style. Not because I grew up, you know, in Judaism. And a lot of the melodies and style of some of their songs are from that exact, you know, that Middle Eastern style of prayer music, you know what I mean? And a lot of when I listen to it, I'm like, oh, this sounds, it reminds me of stuff that I had to learn from my bar mitzvah and all this kind of stuff. And it sort of hits home for me. And that band has always done this, but this album itself, like I say, it's, like you said a little bit, it's diverse enough because like the last album was a little samey.
Yeah.
But there's different style stuff on this album, like Orpheus. I love that song.
Right.
The video, great meaning behind it if you watch the video. And there's no ego behind this band, which is what I love.
Right.
Because take the video, they could have been the whole time, oh, they're going to an Orphan Land show. No, they're going to a creator show in an Orphan Land video.
Right.
It's, yeah. It's,
well, also, and just, I mean, him as a vocalist, like he made like a quantum freaking leap on this album. It just, he's great performances. His death metal growls never sounded more convincing. His emotive vocals are better than I've ever heard him sound. When I would, you know, like Mabul, when that album came out, I would listen to the more melodic kind of cultural type stuff on that album and go, man, I wish they would lean harder in this direction. Now they're leaning harder in that direction and it pays off.
I think I interviewed Kobe on with All Is One, I think right before that album came out.
Yeah.
I wish I got a chance to interview him for this one too. He's such a brilliant guy.
Seeing them live.
I remember that interview.
Yeah.
Seeing them live was an experience.
I unfortunately did not see him live this last time, but I have seen him before. So
yeah.
I saw them when they came with, who was that? With Hypocrisy, maybe?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Some other band.
Yeah.
Swallow the Sun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember seeing them with Swallow the Sun. All right, so let's move on to number 7 on our list. Who wants to go? Not everybody at once. Wait.
Okay. I guess mine is probably going to be, I'm going to sound like every metal publication out there, Uwata, Cult of a Dying Sun. I listened to a shit ton of this album this year. Again, this is one that I may have included because I'm still kind of stoked because I just saw them a couple weeks ago and it was a really fun show.
They're my number 11. They're awesome.
It's a good album. It's highly listenable. Good riffage. Good hooks in a black metal kind of a sense.
Yeah.
Like it's got that kind of thing that bands like Immortal do, that they have the hook that pulls you back in and keeps you in the atmosphere and all this kind of stuff.
Right. The rip is the hook.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. I solid album, listened to it a bunch this year. So good stuff.
How close were you to the stage when they came on?
Directly in front.
Did you smell the fucking stench coming off their robes?
No.
When I saw them, it was at that really small podunk club in like near Cyprus or whatever the hell that place is, and
where we saw Wolfhard or
where we saw
like BFE or something.
It was like the Concert Pub North. Was that it?
Yeah.
And I'm like standing like right in front, like 2 feet away from the stage,
because
the stage is like right. It's like on the ground.
This was in White Oak Music Hall upstairs.
Robes.
I was like, I could have reached out and touched them. Yeah.
Their robes just were the most foul smelling things you could possibly.
They must
imagine.
Have washed them because I didn't really notice.
I thought it was on purpose.
Yeah.
Goat's
blood just.
It very likely is. I actually thought their. I don't know how they did it when you saw them. If it was the same thing. But I thought their stage show was actually really cool.
Well, they were burning all this sage and incense on stage.
There wasn't any of that.
They had all that shit going.
Okay.
But I thought that the robe, like the foul odor, because I passed them backstage before they went on stage, or in the hallway back behind the stage, and they just reeked to high heaven. And I just remember thinking, like, maybe that's on purpose because they're supposed to be like these undead type
dudes. It could be.
Or something.
Like, maybe it helps them get into
it. Was awful.
Thing. But
it's just they're punking everybody in the audience. How bad can we still
do it? I love the show, though, and I love the album. My only quibble with the album, and honestly, I'm such a petty bitch sometimes that this might have prevented it from being anywhere near the top 10. on Snakes and Vultures, how lazy do you have to be for the main lyric in the chorus to be, quote, fucking Snakes and Vultures? Give me something better than that. I will fucking dock you an entire, like, good review for that.
You know, I actually that was actually one of the songs that I picked to play. I have the same complaint that seems lazy, but I like the song. I love the song anyway.
The riff is so great. That song is so great. But that every time they sing that lyric,
did the same thing though. Council of Wolves and Snakes, like, yeah, I mean, it's the exact same thing.
Yep.
Yeah, when I saw them,
the Demu's a little silly.
Yeah,
Uwata's not trying to be silly, and when they sing it, I just cringe inside every time.
When I saw them at White Oak a couple weeks ago, the entire stage show, like, it was upstairs, which is a tiny space. It's very, very small. The stage is small. Everything about it is not big. But to me, that was a lot of my enjoyment of the event. Was it felt like how it used to feel for me going to small metal shows. It had that atmosphere to it, and their entire stage production was they come out in the robes, right? I'm 2 feet away from them. I never saw anybody's face.
Right.
That was kind of cool. Yeah. But the other thing that they did was all the lights in the room went out, and then they came on exactly when they started playing. So it was like they manifested at the front of the stage, and their only lighting for the show was they had three of those, like, house painting lights that you put on the floor and shine up at the wall and it's really fucking bright. They had three of those behind them, and then tons of smoke machine fog, like fog machine fog.
Yeah,
it was like they had a guy behind stage and, like, his only job was more fucking fog. And that was the whole thing. So when the show starts, it goes from, like, complete blackness to these, like, specters on stage surrounded by fog, and they're all backlit. I'm like, wow, that's pretty fucking cool.
That does sound awesome.
Right? The lights didn't flash. Nothing happened. That was their whole stage production. And then when they came to the end of the set, they hit their final note and the lights went out and it became silent just like that. I'm like, that was fucking cool, guys. Like, that was badass, actually.
See, they weren't equipped to do that in the venue that I saw them in. It was like a bar and there was like a boat over there in the distance.
Yeah. So, moving on.
Yeah.
Number seven?
Mine was Ixalibris Inertia.
Really?
Yeah, the unknown, the other Ixalibris, not the symphonic metal band, but the Polish power metal band. I don't know.
We played them on the show this year.
We did play them. Obviously, in deep power metal circles, they're getting a lot of traction on year-end lists there, but not really anywhere else because they're just so sailing under the, you know, many most critical eyes in metal. But it's, if you want progressive tinged, excellent European power metal, this was the best release coming out anywhere on the globe this year. So, yeah. Great vocalist, too. This guy from Finland who, this is his first time singing on anything. Something Hulopainen. They're all named Hulopainen.
Yeah, right.
Oh, no, Turunen. Ricky Turunen. That's a guy's name. Turunen.
Okay.
Cousin Tarja, maybe. I don't know. But amazing vocal talent. Kind of sounds like a mix of Timo Kotipelto from Stradivarius with a little bit with a lot of Tobias Sammet from Edguy and Avantasia. So, yeah. Highly recommended. Yep.
What about you, Justin?
This is probably the most shocking album on my list.
Wait. Okay. Bear down and get ready.
If you had told me this album was going to be on my list at the beginning of the year, I'd be like, nah, no way. Not a chance in hell. Necrophobic, Mark of the Necrogram.
Oh, yeah.
I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
It is like the perfect blend of black metal and mellow death. It hits the ground running and just does not stop until the end. It is hard and fast and relentless and just brutal, but in the best way possible. I've known about these guys for like a decade.
Yeah.
All of their albums have been okay or pretty good.
This is the best one.
But this is by far their best album. Like,
agreed.
They have become way more talented musicians since the last album. The vocals are better. The song composition is better. Like, the bands aren't even comparable between this album and their last one. And I've listened to this album a shit ton this year.
And, you know, I think they out-Watained Watained this year.
Yeah.
Because the forgettable album for me, one of the most disappointing albums of the year for me was the Watained record.
I agree. Because that was I said earlier that Visigoth was the first album that I really got excited about listening to.
Yeah.
The first one I was excited to listen to was a Vautain album, and then I wasn't excited anymore.
I listened to it for the requisite time I needed to write the review, and I never went back to it. Just like, all right, that's enough of that.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're a fanboy, too.
And I enjoy Vautain, yeah. I've seen him live a few times.
Did you listen to this one, Dave?
No, I haven't. It's been on my periphery like all year long, and I just never got around to it.
I think you'll love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
the song, the one song that, I mean, it sticks out to me, it's Sarbomba.
Sarbomba?
Yeah.
So it's the catchiest fucking metal song I've heard in years.
It's great. So going on to me, number seven, it's a doom metal band.
Shocking.
I didn't mean to shock you. I'm sorry, dude. It's The Skull, The Endless Road Turns Black. One of my favorite vocalists of all time, Eric Wagner. This is their second album with this band, which, you know, it's named after a Trouble album and a song. Got to see them live last year, or 2017. Amazing experience. Yeah, Chicago doom metal at its best for me. I can't get enough of this of these guys. His vocals, man. Put his vocals on anything, and I'm there.
I'm afraid I don't have anything to contribute. I didn't listen to this.
Even Vautain, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe not. You've heard the band, though, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I ever went back and listened to it, though. I think I told you I was going to, and I never did.
Shameful.
Another New Year's intention.
Right.
I need to stick to.
Put that on your intention list. Let's just go on to our next song, our next pick. Let's go back the other way, Justin.
Number six for me is kind of a no-brainer. It's Ghost prequel. It's a really, really good album. Ghost continues to impress.
It is a good album.
You know, you can't argue Ghost is probably like the biggest band in metal today. They keep putting out good stuff.
This album actually ended up higher on my list solely on the fact that I've listened to it so much this year.
I've listened to it a shitload too, but I mean,
I don't like it as much as Meliora. I don't think it's as cohesive. But there's a lot of great, catchy, sing-alongable stuff on it. And I've listened to it a lot this year, which is why I've ranked it where I have.
Where do you have it? It's
probably number three, based solely on play count. Like, I've just listened to it a lot. I've also seen them twice this year.
I'm jealous.
And, to me, it's not as good as Meliora, but it's solid. It was it wasn't what I thought it was going to be at all. Like, even from the beginning, like, well, the album is not what I thought it was going to be.
They always pick a single and release it, and it sounds nothing like what the rest of the album does. Like, they did Square Hammer with that one album, and every other song was, like, way more soft, way more mellow. Then they did Rats, which is, like, one of the more heavy songs on this album. Did a bunch of more
the
mellow
final
stuff.
Riff in Rats?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, that's heavy as shit. I'm like, that right there, fuck yeah. We're
one of my favorite things about this album in particular is, like, the imagery is a little more interesting than it is in some of the other ones, and that it all kind of flows together. Like, Rats keep getting mentioned throughout the story and throughout the whole album, and like, if you pay attention, you notice Rats equals Christians in their story. Like, it does.
I think to a degree, because to me the whole, and maybe your interpretation's different, but to me the whole album is sung from the point of view of death. Death is the main character of the album.
Yeah.
And is having encounters with people, and the songs are about these encounters that death is having with people.
I never looked at
even
it
Dance
way.
Macabre?
Even Dance Macabre. Think about what, because it sounds like a Love Gone Wrong song, and I think, and that's on purpose. It's supposed to sound like a Love Gone Wrong.
Something about he wants to bewitch someone in the moonlight.
Yeah, but the rest of, like, the
Klaus Meiner, is that you?
but like, the whole rest of that song is about, you know, this is ending, you know, why does it have to end like this? And in the context of the rest of the album, I'm like, this is another song where death is singing to another one of the people. And Death isn't taking everyone that he encounters, but he's coming across them and going, you know that this is where things are going.
How do you feel about Witch Image then? Because, I mean, that song, the singer directly references Death being behind him.
Well, that's a good – I don't mean it in like it's a concept album where Death is the main character, but thematically that's where I'm coming from. The whole album is about
Death. The whole album is about Death. I agree with you 100%.
So I don't necessarily mean that like it's all sung from his point of view,
okay,
like as in the words are coming from him, but I mean more in a general sense that the whole album is following Death through all of these different kinds of scenarios. Which image was my track pick off this album?
Probably the best song on the album.
Yeah,
it's such a good album.
did we get through everybody's number seven?
Seven, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get
this
into
was, it. This was your, was that your?
This six? Was my number six.
Yeah. Number six, so we okay. Started We're still in going with six. Okay, so Sean, what's your number six?
Oh, a band from France called Elven Storm, album called The Conjuring. This is their debut. We played them on the show.
I remember this.
Their vocalist is very unusual. She's this petite French woman who has this voice like a fucking hurricane coming out of her. And the riffs are just, I mean, this is, it's like creator level heavy and intense and just fast and aggression. And their album, they're like very power metal influence. It is power metal, but it's speed, aggression, power metal.
Okay.
And it's, this album just hit me with this force. Like when I first listened to it, it was just like, God, this is like the most heavy thing. But then you have this petite French woman's voice sailing through the air, kind of wavery. Like she's not that great of a vocalist, but somehow I found it charming enough to where it worked. And it's like, I actually think if they removed her as the vocalist, this band would diminish a little bit for me. So it's this weird combination of things that maybe shouldn't work, but the album's just written with such enthusiasm and just this sort of joyous love for just ridiculous, absurd, aggressive metal that it's one of the best. It's one of the most fun records I've heard all year.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Brutal Dave.
Yeah, things got fuzzy in here for me as well, but I think I've settled on Oceans of Slumber, The Banished Heart.
Number six. You?
Which, if you'd asked me 2 weeks ago, this probably wasn't going to be on my list at all. But I went back in, because I listened to it a lot after it came out.
Yes.
To the point that it started to just kind of become background noise. It was a thing I put on and kind of forgot about and did other things. And something in me said, you pay attention to this again before you decide. And so I did. I sat down and did nothing else and just sat and listened to the album. And it is a, like, heartbreakingly beautiful experience.
It really
is.
It's
magnificent.
It's such a heartfelt, sad album, mm-hmm, without being overly, you know, cheesy or trying to force your hand into being sad.
It doesn't go into like doom metal trope territory too heavily. Like you get a little bit of that, but it feels more authentic.
Cammy's vocals are perfect for this band and for this style that they, mm-hmm, did on this album. Yeah, I know Dauber had mentioned this album is definitely influenced by like the old Peaceful record band, like My Dying Bride and Paradise Lost and that kind of stuff. And I can definitely see that. This is such a heart wrenching album.
And I think it's one that deserves to be listened to in that context.
And it's not this heart wrenching about loss of death, but loss of friends and loss of relationships and all that kind of stuff. It's all here.
But then there's the part of it that, to me, really drives the emotion of it home isn't just that stuff. It's also stuff like No Color, No Light, which I mentioned coming into the recording, that there's something in there that there's still love and something like hope still in there, even if it feels far away and unattainable. That almost makes the... It almost makes the sad stuff even more sad,
right?
By contrast, that even the love stuff that's still there just feels so far away. That it's real, that it's having an impact, but that I'm so lost in this heavy stuff. And it's a very emotional album, and I think is one that deserves to be sat and listened to. that it became background noise for me is unfair to this album, because I think it's one that deserves that kind of attention.
Well, for me, it
to
actually
get the full impact out of it.
It actually sits at my number four spot of the year. Not just because, you know, we know the guys in the band and all that.
That was
kind of
another
stuff.
Reason why I was hesitant to do this, because
I feel that
I didn't want it to be this is on here because, you know, this, you know, local band made big and, you know, I know some of these people. I didn't want it to be about that. And so I feel like doing the exercise that I did, I can justify my position and say this absolutely deserves to be in the top 10.
And the band's going through some changes right now. So I know they're working on new music and new styles of music.
Well, and Dauber started a new black metal band.
Necrofire,
They did a killer first performance. Well, it was their second performance, but their first one in Houston.
With UADA.
That's UADA show, yeah.
So my number six, I've been a fan of this band for my whole life as a metalhead. But I did not like the last album that much. But this new one that came out in 2018, I freaking adore it. It's quality heavy metal, and I'm talking about Judas Priest, Firepower. I think every song on this album is brilliant. It's one of the best Judas Priest albums, in my opinion, in a long, long time. It's right up there with, you know, Painkiller for me, how much I love this album.
I like it a lot too. I felt like it was better than the one that preceded it.
For sure.
And I liked that one quite a bit.
Yeah, me too. Redeemer of Souls.
Yeah, Redeemer of Souls. I enjoyed quite a lot, and I felt like this one was better. I just didn't spend the time with it. I listened to it a lot right when it came out, and I think it was kind of the same thing as that it came out so early may have affected my my relationship with it, if you will.
I listened to it to death when it came out. Yeah. I loved it. I mean, it's clearly the best Judas Priest album since Painkiller. Clearly, I think. But the reason why it's not in my top 10 is just I may have burned it out a little bit at some point.
Yeah, I can see that.
Guardians or Rising from Ruins and Guardians ended up on my songs list as the two connected.
I remember seeing that.
The intro.
Where would people see that at?
Well, the metalpigeon.com. The reason why it's not my albums list, though, I think really is that not only is there just too much other stuff, but I think I had pegged it as it was like, I was like, oh, this is clearly going to be in the top three or something. And I just never really like went back and listened to it.
Yeah.
And then when I finally was like in late December, like scrambling to get all this stuff done, I realized like, oh shit, there's all this other stuff I like more. Should I put it up just because it's Judas Priest and I should pay respect to it because it's such a great record? And I can't do that.
I saw so many other best of lists, including it or putting it at their number one or putting it so high.
I wouldn't go that far.
I kept thinking they're just doing it because it's Priest. Like,
yeah, yeah.
I listened to it. I enjoyed it for what it is, but like, I'm not a huge Priest fan. I never have been, and like, it's nowhere near my.
If you're not a Priest fan, this is not gonna. It's not revolutionary. It's not gonna be like, oh, it's not gonna get you into Judas Priest. But it's a damn solid album from them. I really like it a lot.
Yeah. I think a song like No Surrender, which is, I think, maybe my second favorite song on the album, it's just like if you put that song, if you spliced it and put it into the track listing of Screaming for Vengeance or Living After Midnight or British Steel or whatever, it wouldn't sound out of place on that album.
Yeah. There's songs on this album that are definitely classic sounding Judas Priest.
Like they have the swagger of their old like early 80s like back.
Sure.
So yeah.
I definitely see that.
Yeah.
So let's get into a song. We've been talking for like half an hour. The next band we're going to listen to for our 2018 Rewind, it's Visigoths.
Oh yes.
Blades in the Night. Who picked this one?
I did.
You picked this one from Conqueror's Oath. I know Dave had it on his list, and it's on your list, right?
Yeah, I would have picked Warrior Queen, but we already played
that was my pick.
Earlier in the year.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah, I went back and looked, and I was like, oh, shit, we already played it. So my second favorite song on the album.
It's a great video, too.
Warrior Queen was my song of the year.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Great fucking video, too, when you can see, like...
Excellent video.
I'm joking. No, it's a good video, but there's definitely background stuff you can see in the video.
I didn't notice. I was focused on their performance. They have that kind of Priestian swagger in their performance. I like.
So let's get into it, and we'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
we're back to episode number 215 of MSRcast, our 2018 Rewind. We just heard a couple of songs that were – the last song we heard was Harikari for the Sky. This is Fire – why do you laugh?
It's Harakiri.
Harikari.
Harakiri.
Okay, whatever. Harry Carey for the Sky.
Sure.
It's from the album Arson, Fire, Walk With Me. Let's talk about that.
Well, we haven't gotten to that number on my list yet, but it is one of the albums on my list. Harakiri for the Sky is a band I discovered a couple years ago. Their album Trauma was in my top 10 list. Arson's in my top 10 list. They have kind of a unique black metal sound. Although I think more and more bands are kind of copying that sound where the vocals are sort of distant and the music's more at the forefront.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And they're super melodic like that. I love this album. I've listened to this album probably more than anything else on my list this year. It's my album I listen to when I'm working. It's my album I listen to when I'm working out. It's just – it's an awesome fucking album. I know they got a dumb name.
I was about to say the name is not does not do them justice.
It really doesn't. They sound like a Hot Topic band when you hear the name for the first time.
That's why I never listened to them, seriously.
They're excellent, though. You got to give them a chance. Trauma is a fantastic album. Arson's a fantastic album. Check out either one of those, and I guarantee you won't be disappointed.
Yeah, and if you kind of like try to make an acronym of their name, it's HFTS, which just sounds like some sort of internet protocol.
Okay,
that doesn't work either.
That was really random, bro. But I got you.
But I don't disagree with you.
I know. I don't disagree with that now.
Just never would have occurred to me.
So before Harakiri for the Sky, right?
Sure.
Is that right? No, sure. Am I saying it wrong?
Harakiri for the Sky.
Harakiri.
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 There you go.
Okay. Visigoths. Conqueror's Oath is the album.
Oh, yes.
Came out way back in February this year. Yeah. It's been a while, but it's still on everybody's radar.
This was Metallum's album of the year, as voted by the metal public.
Encyclopedia Metallum? Really?
Yep, just announced today.
I see what the issue is. You wrote Harakiri on the a paper. That's why you're saying it wrong.
You misspelled it.
That's probably right. It's Harakiri.
Yeah.
There we go. Yeah, Visigoths, I mean, it's on a lot of people's top albums of the year, and deservedly so. It's a great album.
So we played Blades in the Night, which is like my second favorite, and Warrior Queen's obviously it's my song of the year.
And that was my pick from this album,
and it's an amazing song. We played it earlier this year on the show. Blades in the Night, though, is like that early 80s kind of throwback dagger of a song.
Yeah,
just catchy straight to your gut. Yeah, and it's so catchy. When they come here in April, I'm going to go absolutely ballistic during that song. During this band set, I'm going to be headbanging like crazy. So
I'm going to try to go. I don't think it's going to work with my schedule. I think I've already looked at it.
It's on a Saturday, though, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I do.
Two stages. It's upstairs and downstairs, I think.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting show.
Sherwood Forest Fair.
Oh, okay.
During that time. So all my weekends will be consumed. So
you're feeling a little sick, right?
I might be sick that weekend.
I was about to say, you're looking a little peaked.
Already? God, I know. It's going to be a long time.
Put a scarecrow in your booth and go to the show.
So let's move on to our list. So we've done number 6. Let's go on to everybody's number 5. And I'll start off on this one. The Burning Cold from Omnium Gatherum.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
It's, what?
I didn't love it.
I didn't love it as much as their previous albums either. It's not even in my top 15.
It's not for me either. It didn't come close to making the cut for me. And Grey Heavens was my favorite melodic death metal album that year. Like that is a phenomenal mellow death album.
It is.
This one let me down. I felt really disappointed by it. Like, it's not bad. It's just not.
You know, it seems like they phoned it in or something.
Kinda.
Yeah.
You know what? I think a lot had to do with it was seeing them live earlier this year that really re-sparked my love for the band. And I started listening to the album a lot from there. Mm-hmm. I think that had a lot to do with it. But I can see, I mean, yeah, I can see Grey Heavens is, it's definitely a much better album.
Yeah. Yeah.
Much more catchier album in ways, but.
I actually think it's not my top 10, but the song, the front line was on my top 10 songs. Okay. I love that song.
There's good stuff on here. Yeah. And I don't mean to imply that there's not, it just felt like the album as a whole didn't ever really grab a hold of me.
It's like, you know, their last album was like a 9 or something, and this one's like a 6.5.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it just.
I wouldn't go that low, but.
I enjoyed this record a lot. I had fun listening to it, but I think it, you know, I don't know. It didn't, I don't think it resonated as much as some of their other ones have, like overall.
Right.
But that song, The Front Line, love that song.
Yep.
Almost a perfect Omnium Gatherum song.
I like the album. I've listened to the album a lot this year.
Yeah.
But I couldn't put it in my top 15.
Yeah, same.
So what's number 5 for you?
This one's a little bit of a surprise. This one's been a surprise to me in general. Will's Dissolve. The Heavens Are Not on Fire.
They are my number 13, actually.
Okay. This one, we found out about, they're from here.
They are.
Never heard of them before this album came out. And we found out about them because of that drummer guy, Josh Rundquist.
That's right,
he was talking about them. And we were like, wait, what? Why is he talking about this band from here that we've never heard of before?
Well, I didn't know they were from here originally. He started talking about them, I'm like, oh, this sounds up my alley. So
yeah. That's why I got into it too. Then I found out they were from here and I'm like, how the fuck did I not know about this band?
I went to their band camp and immediately bought the album.
So they're kind of, I will admit that this one is placed kind of high, and the fact that they're a local band that surprised the shit out of me is playing into that. So I didn't want that for Oceans of Slumber because they're so high profile.
Yep.
This is not a high profile band. I think they're going to be. I think in a few years, they're going to be a bigger name. I don't know how big, but I think they're going to get out there. This album is really good. It's very kind of Opeth enslaved, Swallow the Sun, kind of mix of
Opethian in nature.
Yeah, the songwriting is very Opeth style, but the ingredients are more diverse than that. But
I wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah, it's all, you know, kind of mostly long, you know, 10-minute plus songs. Kind of a concept album. We had talked about this on Metal Geeks actually before, and like all of the song titles, like it's all like one sentence if you read all the song titles in order and all this kind of stuff. Have you heard this at all?
I haven't at all. No.
It's really interesting, and it's not the most polished thing. It's not perfect, but I've listened to it a lot, and I've listened to this album a whole lot, and I enjoy it every time I do.
I'll definitely
check it out. Yeah.
It sounds like a band on their third record. It doesn't
sound like a first album.
It sounds way more mature than it has any right to be.
And that's why I think that they have the potential to really become something, because if they're showing this level of songwriting maturity now, I'm excited to see what they're going to do in the future. So I'm actually going to see them next week.
I am
going
to go to that.
You're
too.
You're going
to
go?
So good news is I've already talked to a couple of guys in the band. We're working out our schedule to get them in the studio to do an episode. Andrew used to do a couple of the guys. Stephen Wilson show.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
My number 5 was Hoth, Astral Necromancy.
I had not even heard of this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. At your recommendation, I went to go check it out, but I haven't had enough time to really sit down with it.
I love this record. It's on my list,
but it's not in my top
icy
album.
It was, yeah. Well, I mean, with a name like Hoth, you better be.
You'd be cold as fuck.
The vocalist, this guy, Eric Peters, he sounds like a necromancer. It just sounds like, you know, when you played Skyrim and you went to the top of that mountain and that necromancer, evil
priest.
Dude, that he just burst out of the thing. It sounds like him. He's on vocals. That's what it sounds like. And just the songs are catchy, and they have, like, it's grim, atmospheric black metal that has teeth to it, and it's aggressive, and is wintry tone all around, and also like there's a ton of major key uplift moments, like with like someone took a needle of power metal and just injected it in there, and all of a sudden these glorious choruses rise out of nowhere. You're just like, what the fuck is going on here? It was one of my the most entertaining album I think on my list.
I listened to it probably 4 times this year, I liked it, but I meant to keep going back and revisiting it. I never got a chance to.
It latched on to me. I would like listen to it on like driving around to the grocery store or whatever. It just became kind of like my soundtrack sometimes to like life in general. So yeah, I love this album.
It's a good winterly album.
I'll definitely have to go back and revisit it.
Yeah.
Mine was Behemoth. I Loved You at Your Darkest, number five.
Number five.
It's a great fucking album.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
We talked about it a lot already, though.
We've already mentioned my number four is actually Ocean of the Slumber. So let's go. Okay. Sean, what's your number four?
Therion's massive triple disc opera, Beloved Antichrist.
Can we skip this now?
We were talking a minute ago about how I need an entry point for Therion. This was not it. I was thinking about it, and then I looked at the track list and went, nope. Not doing this one.
I even wrote on my little blurb for when I had this on my site that this is a purely selfish album of the year pick. I just listened to it so much because I love this band. I figured I owed them the time. And when I first heard this album, I just hated it. I didn't understand what they were doing. Pissed off that they took 8 years to do this because they haven't released a studio album since 2010. I had to switch my mindset to like, okay, I'm going to be listening to a soundtrack of a movie or a stage production I haven't seen yet. And that's when it clicked with me. And I started to listen to it over and over and over again. And then just, I would remember little things from it throughout the day and things would get stuck in my head. And I just over time grew to really love it. And now I can just listen to it at any point, just dive into any of its 48 tracks. Yes. And they're all, it's an actual opera. There's a libretto. I mean, there's any type of operatic element you can think of. It's an actual opera and it's amazingly well done. I totally understand that everyone else hates it. I get it. So that's my selfish pick.
I think it's
really
interesting. Those end up being some of the most beloved pieces of artwork are the ones that when you first come across them, you go, that's it?
What the hell are you guys doing?
And then you spend some time with it.
Yeah.
That there's something magical about that.
Yeah.
What about you, Dave?
For
number four.
For my number four, I did Ihsahn Ömer.
Me too.
Yeah.
Ooh, syncing up numbers.
I just listened to it again on the way over tonight. So
yeah, I really like this record, but I don't know why.
It wasn't as good as Arctis.
It was not
amazing, but this one stuck with me all year. I listened to it.
I listened to it a lot this year,
and you know it's drastically different than Arctis, but mm-hmm. I mean it has a lot of the same elements too. I mean there's songs that are intense. There's a really interesting story built into it.
What do you think? We talked a little bit about that with Ghost. What do you think is going on here in this one?
I think it's about a man trying to survive to get back to his love, right?
It's not how I saw it at all.
No?
I saw it as somebody dealing with recognizing that the world is falling to pieces and that his framework for understanding the world doesn't make sense anymore and that he has to completely rebuild this and that once he steps into that darkness, he realizes that it's always been there and he feels at home. That he's actually surprised. He surprises himself that once he lets go of his mental constructs of the world, these kinds of schema that we lay over to try to make sense of everything.
I can see that once he lets go of that,
I feel that it's even earlier.
Whole movie,
I feel the whole thing that deals with this. That it's him. I mean, you can look at it in a religious way that this is somebody who's losing their faith, but I mean, you could apply it to, you know, political. I mean, you can apply it to anything that his picture of the world doesn't work anymore. Either the world has changed or he's come to see the world in a different way. And in doing so, he surprises himself with how comfortable he is there. Okay. That he goes, you know what? This is right. You know, and to me, that feels in line with what I know about Ihsahn.
Right.
So that seems thematically in line with the kind of thing Ihsahn does. And so that's how I saw it, personally.
I can totally see your side of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think a lot of it – because the songs are so different. And, like, mm-hmm. the beginning half of the album is really the story of a man and, like, what's going on around him in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe I'm focusing more on that in my evaluation of the whole album because the latter songs definitely are –
Mm-hmm. The last, about the last dream, song in particular.
The last two songs in particular are about him dreaming and about his worldview changing, and I completely agree with that. But I can see your perspective on the whole thing, too. So it's an interesting album.
I need to go
album.
Back and look for the love story, then.
It's there. So. I mean, he named the album Hammer, for God's sakes.
And you guys deep dove onto that. I was just like, I remember listening to the album going like, oh, I really like this. Oh, I wish there was something like Mass Darkness on here, you know, which was like, I think it was like one of my, like maybe it might've been my favorite song.
What's your favorite song on the album?
It might be the last, actually my pick for the, if I was going to have it on the playlist was the last one on the album.
Is that Wake?
Yeah.
Wake is really good. I like Twin Black Angels.
That was my second choice.
I like Arcana Imperi.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I like that song a lot. Great. Isan to never put out.
They're always
bad albums. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
No matter. And that's why I really like him as an artist. He's one of my favorite artists because I feel like he's always trying. He's always looking for some different angle, either thematically or some instrument that you wouldn't expect. You know, like he threw in saxophone into metal.
Everyone's
doing it. And when he did it, I was like, what the fuck is this guy out? Like,
well, the first
making
time
making horns metal again,
because he did that in what was it, Angel, or was it after
second album? Right,
it was after, I think. After.
I think that's right.
And like some of the saxophone solos in there are just insane.
Yeah,
you're just like, what is this? Like when he does it in Arctis, it's a lot more subtle and like Thin Red Line's amazing.
No, when
so
he
beautiful.
First introduced it, he went ham with
it.
It was not good.
And I was,
it wasn't all good. Some of it was good.
Rivers
some
of Nihil was good at
But that's what happened. Is like after I started hearing Isan using saxophone all the time, I was just like, man, I want more saxophone. I felt like fucking Will Ferrell. Like, I need more saxophone. And now I love metal bands that do it. So, yeah.
All very right. Cool.
So there was our number four.
Twinsies.
Yep. Someone had to line up somewhere.
Yeah, right. Like, it was bound to happen.
Number three.
Did y'all do four?
My number four was Ocean of the Slumber.
Therion. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
My number three was Thrawson Blatt's acoustic album, Great Brunswick Forest. One of the most surprising things, and what I love about that, and now I'm ready. Now I'm ready for Thrawson Blatt. They're going to, every time they release something, it's going to be something different. Because they're not playing by any type of playbook. So this is an album of acoustic stuff. When I saw the press release, I'm like, okay, so it's going to be like the maritime folk balladry that they had on the first record, like those two songs. And it's nothing like that. This is just black metal played on acoustic instruments. And it's done convincingly well. And
That sounds cool.
It's acoustic guitars, acoustic drumming. She does blast beats on drums. Yep. Ray Armitage of
Immortal Bird. Yep.
And Woods of Ypres. And Joel Violette doing all the acoustic bass and guitars and stuff. And they bring in a cellist to do some of the more kind of to help with the dissonance.
Deeper sounds.
So they do tremolo riffing on this, and they do like blast beats, acoustic blast beats, and the songwriting's so vibrant and refreshing and
if you were a fan of Wood of Ypres, you're gonna like this band a lot.
Yeah, you should already be listening to Thrawson Blatt if you were a fan.
For sure.
Because the last album was just total black metal fury, but done in that kind of, you know, that Joel Violette style of like expansiveness and clean vocals. But this album was really special. I mean, this is like some of my favorite songwriting by him. So he had a song on here called Via Canadesis or something that was on my songs list.
That's the song we played.
Yeah. We played it on the show. And this album was, it was a late comer. It was in like November. But I just listened to it for the entire month. Like every day I would listen to this record. It was amazing. So, yep.
Very cool.
I mentioned it earlier. My number three is Ghost Prickel. And just because I listened to it a ton.
Mine was Hari Kari for the Sky, Arson. They're such a unique band.
I'm gonna have to
give them a chance.
Yeah, I was thinking that was me your number one the way you were talking about it. Now I'm wondering.
So my number three, Constellation of the Black Light, Wolfheart.
Yeah,
it's a good album.
Great fucking album. I got into them on the last album. Yeah, there you go.
Teus.
This album, it's much more pummeling, much more heavier, but there's still the melodic elements to them. And
it was a great record.
It's a great fucking record.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan. And seeing them live just solidified my fandom for that band.
Yeah.
Totally. They were so good. I wish they played a lot longer than they did.
They should have played a lot longer. Yeah.
Yes.
So I was curious about this. This is a bit of a tangent. Go back a step.
Sure.
Justin.
Yes.
Almer in Old Norse translates to black or loathsome.
Huh. All right.
So there you go.
Not love. Good like, to
know. Well, I mean, okay.
More.
Yeah. I assumed it meant dreams or love, but that makes sense.
Yeah.
Very cool. So let's get into another round of music.
Mm-hmm.
Next, we're going to play two totally different bands. One of them we've discussed already. One of them we haven't yet. So River of the Nile is going to be first. This will be a subtle change from the album Where Owls Know My Name. And then we're going to get into Orphanland. The song is Left Behind from Unsung Prophets and Dead Messiahs. Spoiler, you're number one.
My number one.
And my number eight. So we'll find out where River of the Nile falls on some of our lists when we get back.
Yeah. memory of the time before, like words lost throughout all time, like raindrops on barren lands, they are destined to dry and fade away.
Welcome back to the 2018 Rewind, and that was Left Behind by Orphanland from my album of the year, Unsung Prophets and Dead Messiahs.
Album of the year, that's crazy.
Yeah.
No, it's a great album.
Yeah. It was my album of the year, and it wasn't even close. I mean, like, number two was Visigoth, and it wasn't close. There was
also number two was Visigoth.
Yeah. I mean, there was never a point of it... threatening to overtake it. So, I mean, I don't know if it was reinforced by, I even purposely, because I was listening to the album so much, I cooled off, like, after I saw the band play in, like, June or whatever that was, May. I was like, all right, I'm going to give it some time off and see what I feel when I come back to it. And I came back to it in, like, September, and it was just still the same as ever. So I think then I kind of figured it out. I was like, yep.
Very cool.
Yep.
Before that, we had River of the Nile, which is somebody's on their list here. Whose list is that?
It's my list.
What's your... Okay, so before we get there, I don't want to spoil anything. Do we need to go through our number twos? Because you already said your number two is what?
Visigoth,
and your number one is...
Orphanland.
What about your number two?
My number two is Behemoth, which we've already talked about, but that's my number two.
What's your number one? We need a drum roll now?
Surprising the shit out of me.
Yeah?
Amorphous.
What?
Was my favorite album this year. This is the best Amorphous album I've ever heard. I like Amorphous. We actually had a discussion about this the last time we talked about an Amorphous record.
Yep.
I have trouble making it through Amorphous albums because they get... there's a formulaic nature to their songwriting.
I can
see
that.
The songs are all good. They're good, solid quality songs, but when I can't listen to a bunch of them in a row because the pattern starts to grate on me. This album cured that completely.
Yeah. I remember Dave saying that last time we talked about this.
I fucking love this album. I've not stopped listening to it all year. And it's not like I haven't just put it on repeat, but I've come back to it over and over and over. And every time I listen to it, I really like it.
So,
and part of it, part of what put it in the number one mm-hmm. is that it surprised the shit out of me that it did. In a year where Ghost, Behemoth, Ihsahn, all these people put out albums, they weren't my favorite. And Amorphis was. I'm surprised as anybody.
So before we go, we'll get back to that in a second, but let me do my number two real quick, and then I'll do my number one. My number two, it was a big surprise for me. I've liked this band, and I like this vocalist a lot. But my number two is the album Midnight Ghost from Brainstorm. This is an almost perfect heavy metal, power metal album. It's catchy as hell. Just guitar riffs everywhere in it, but it's very
satisfying.
Yeah, it's just a really fun, good album, and I've always liked this band. I always sort of liked his other band Symforce a little bit more, because I always felt Symforce was a little bit more accessible and catchy,
right?
And that's what I think this Brainstorm album mixes the best of both of those bands together into this perfect symmetry of just catchiness. It's such a fun album.
It was the most it's their best album, I think, maybe tied with what was it, Soul Temptation 2002. This one was so satisfying to listen to. It was pounding on the door of my top 10, but I had to
I just opened that door for it. It's wide open. Come on in. My number one, not surprising to anybody, is Amorphis, Queen of Time. It's probably my favorite Amorphis album in their career. It's probably my favorite album of a lot in the past few years. I listen to this album a lot. I mean, a lot where it's not even like Helsing anymore type of a lot. But it's such a... It's
my level of a lot?
Your level of a lot. Maybe, yeah. It's Justin level listening. I seriously listened to this album 50 to 75 times this year. I never get bored of it. I never get tired of it. Every song on it, it's different enough.
It fixed that thing for
it
me.
It did. I never thought about formula. That until you mentioned that before.
Yeah, now
that
I've formula. Ruined Amorphis for you.
No, so. You have not. Have not.
But this did not have it. This did not have that formulaic problem. Everything felt, it felt cohesive, but everything mm-hmm. felt like a original fresh idea.
I mean, going back and listening, thinking about their older albums, I can definitely see where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm. I felt like before this one, my favorite one prior to this was Eclipse, and Eclipse still had that formula thing, but
it was more diverse.
It was more diverse.
Yeah, I can see that. We had that same discussion when Under the Red Cloud came out,
mm-hmm.
Because I loved Under the Red Cloud. I put it really high on my ratings for that year, and you and I talked about that a lot. But Amorphis has become probably my favorite band. I listen to all their albums. I don't really get tired of them. Like, I see the formulaicness you're talking about, but I live for that shit. Like, I can listen to the same album 300 times, never get tired of it. That said, Queen of Time is hands down their best album. Not even close. It's my number two. It's my number two. I've listened to it at least 100 times, maybe more. Every song is great. You know, it's just a fantastic album. It deserves a top spot on most people's lists.
It really does. It's such a phenomenal album. And if you've never given Amorphis a chance, this is varied enough in their different styles that you're going to find something that you're going to enjoy here. I mean, shit, it has Annika on it, for God's sake. that's all you need right there. But it's weird to say this. The B, the Wrong Direction, Heart of the Giant, all top songs of the year for me.
The Golden Elk.
Among Stars is yeah. great. Every song on the album is a great song. Like, I don't think there's any that are even kind of bad.
No. There's songs that are less memorable than Sean's looking at me like, I don't like this album. We've already told you that you're fucking wrong.
It's funny because I'm like I don't even know if I should say anything because it's such a love fest going on here.
But wait a minute, who's wearing an Amorphis t-shirt right now?
I because I really do love this band. I mean, Under the Red Cloud is my album of the year that year.
Yeah.
This was my most disappointing album of the year.
You shut the front door.
I think that this is a band that was hitting like home runs every record. They released a perfect record in Under Red Cloud, and this was a drastic step in the wrong direction.
Couldn't disagree more.
I think
it's
that
because they
have a song title. Said, I disagree with.
We've already had this discussion.
Everything you were saying that you liked about this album, how everything was like unique and they've solved a lot of their problems. I thought that they solved a lot of that on that record, on Under the Red Cloud. That album, to me, I can still listen to it now and it still sounds as fresh as the first time I listened to it. This album, the song Wrong Direction was my most hated song of the year. I don't know why. It got even worse when I had to see him live. And I saw that show was weird. I'm not going to talk about that show because I think I walked into that show kind of going, I hope you guys lean away from this new record. And they leaned towards it.
They doubled down on it, which was fucking amazing.
And it kind of ruined the gig for me. So, but the album itself, I like the B. I love the Annika song and everything else. I just think like, what happened to you guys? So I don't know. I'm not going to say that anyone's wrong about this, but this is the weird reaction I had to this record. And it just goes to show that like, it's hard to come up with consensus sometimes in metal about anything.
Everybody has different tastes and there's so many subgenres.
Cause it's not like I hate this band. I'm wearing this shirt right now. They were my album of the year in 2015. And this album, I was so ready for it. I was like, yes, new Amorphis album. What? And I couldn't even, I thought my reaction was like, I thought there was something wrong with my reaction. And maybe there is.
There is something wrong.
But
admitting it is the first step, Sean.
But I went back and when I was like thinking about things for the list, I'm like, I'm going to go and give it one more shot. And I was listening to it and I was just like, nope, off. Never going to listen to this record again, ever. Like maybe those two songs, but it just tanked for me. I don't know what to say.
This is when the show got tanked. You're entitled to your opinion, even though it's wrong, completely wrong.
I think it's more interesting that I had such a negative reaction. You guys have it. So
I'm
high
surprised
on the list.
I had such a positive reaction.
Right. Yeah.
Me too.
Both of those things surprise me.
Yeah.
To be honest.
It's just a very surprising device.
Carrie loving it, I totally understand.
I'm surprised that Amorphis made it to my top 10 at all this year, and right. That they were my number one surprises me greatly. Yeah. So
did anybody have any runner-up?
That was my number two. So we got to talk about.
You already mentioned your number one.
We got to talk about my number one. I've not talked about it yet.
We know.
Rivers of Nile.
Rivers of Nile.
Where Owls Know My Name. So this is a concept album. It's a story of the first immortal.
It's about opening a Cheers in
it's
in
right. We
Harry
talked,
Potter.
We talked about Cheers meets Harry Potter. They walk in, all the owls are like, Norm! No, but I mean, it's a concept album. It's about the first immortal and how he watches everything around him die as he gets older and older until there's nothing left except for him and a few owls. And he communicates to them and he lives this really sheltered and weird life. And it's about all these experiences and dreams he has. The album's incredibly diverse. Every song has all kinds of changes and like there's different melodies and different instruments and even different types of screams and vocals and it's a masterpiece of an album, and anybody that didn't really give it a chance, I feel like you deserve it to yourselves to like sit down and actually listen to the whole thing from beginning to end. I've seen a lot of other publications give it a 10 out of 10. I've seen other people say it's a masterpiece. I've seen other people say it's their number one album of the year. I fucking love this album. I've listened to it at least 200 times, probably more this year. Can't get enough of it. It's always stuck in my head, and I love it. So can't wait to see him in March.
I'm definitely going to have to. I've seen this on everybody's list. I definitely need to give it more of a chance.
Yeah,
I think it was one of those things. Another one of those. It's the name that was.
Well, I discovered them this year with this album, right? And I went back and I listened to their previous albums, which aren't great,
right?
Like Monarch has some cool stuff on it. It's interesting.
Yeah.
I like the Terrestria thing they have going from album to album and how they're always an instrumental track and they're always like really heavy and really different than everything else on the album. I think Terrestria is probably one of the better songs on the earlier albums, but the other two albums, they're kind of mediocre. This is the album where they finally figured their shit out and they're doing really interesting and unique things. And like, it's a masterpiece. It truly is. So you got to give it a chance.
So let's go through some of our runner ups. I actually put my top 25 together of the year. We need to go through some of we've already mentioned a few of them before. Winehand. Did anybody listen to that?
No,
not enough. I listened to it when it came out and it was really good.
Yes,
but I didn't spend.
It's good doom. Very catchy. It's like 90s grunge era doom. Mm-hmm. If you want to, it's produced by Steve Albini, who did Nirvana back in the day and all that kind of stuff. So it definitely has that sound. Tribulation Down Below.
Yeah. Early in the year, I loved that album, and I listened to it a lot. Yep. And honestly, it was in my top 10 until I heard the Shelma Gognar album.
Oh, wow.
This was one of my runner-ups as well.
It got displaced by Shelma Gognar.
It was shortlisted.
Whirl Dane, Shadow Work. I feel sort of obligated to put this here posthumously. It's a great album. Not the best. I think its first solo album was much better. You just got to wonder how great of an album would it have been if he didn't pass away during the making of it, you know, because they finished it. Nobody mentioned Life Hunger from Vreed.
It was shortlisted on mine.
Was it?
It was like one of the nominees I crossed off to get to the 10.
Okay.
It's a great record, but competition.
There's a lot of competition this year.
Yeah, it was the hardest list I've ever had to put together. It was just hard to eliminate certain things.
Okay, so I'm going to move on. Bloodbath, The Arrow of Satan is Drawn.
That one I just didn't have enough time with. I probably only listened to it all the way through one time. And I feel like in the coming months, as I have time to get back to it, there's a chance that it might have made it to my list, possibly.
Yeah.
I just didn't have the time to sit down with it. I was really excited for it.
That came out in a bad month for you. It was like October and stuff.
Yeah. The last 3 months of this last year, I didn't slow down like ever. I think it's finally just now hitting me that, like, hey, you can maybe slow down for a minute.
Yeah.
Because I haven't fucking stopped moving in 3 months and I'm exhausted.
Yeah. I can imagine.
This is probably a band nobody's ever even heard of here. The Sea Within.
No,
it's a prog, sort of like a prog metal supergroup ish, but it has Daniel Ginlaw from Pain of Salvation as the vocalist and songwriter. Really good stuff. I had Eson on my list, of course. We've already mentioned that. The Ocean of Grief album, Nightfall's Lament. Good stuff. Barren Earth, which you already mentioned you didn't like.
Yeah, I love The Devil's Resolve, but this one was
different singer. Now.
Yeah, things have changed.
The new album, Complex of Cages, is my number 16. 15 for me was Shelma Gognar.
Shelma Gognar?
Shelma Gognar.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Number 14 for me was something that just came out in the past few weeks, and that's Metal Church, Damned If You Do. It's a really fun modernish thrash album. It's not their best album for sure, but it's fun. 13 for me was Wheels Dissolve, The Heavens Are Not on Fire, Ellipses, .. Mournful Congregation, The Incubus of Karma was number 12 for me. And that's it.
I had a few. Skeleton of Witch, Devouring Radiant Light was really good.
I completely forgot. Like, it was good, and then I forgot about it until you mentioned it just now.
Yeah,
so,
it was one of those that was kind of at the bottom of my list, and it kept fluctuating. Didn't quite make it in, but I do think it's an excellent album. A new band I discovered called Zul, XUL.
Heard of
there that. Was only Zul.
What Lies Hidden. It's a pretty solid black metal album. I really enjoyed that one a lot. Let's see. I also listened to Def Heaven.
Can't agree with you there, buddy.
It's not like their other albums. It's very different.
I've heard that, but I don't know.
I'll check it out. I don't hate Def Heaven. I just feel like there's so many people that do what they do better. Why would I waste my time with Def Heaven?
I agree, but on this album, I feel like half of it is a masterpiece and the other half of it is trash. So
fair enough.
So it's master trash.
It's master trash. And then a band I told you about a couple weeks ago that I feel like if I had a lot more time with, it probably would have made it. Moonshade, Sun Dethroned.
Yes, yeah.
They are really good. Really good mellow death.
Now, I do have some other bands that I want to sort of mention, because there were so many albums this past year. It's unbelievable. The Crawling, Wolves in the Hideous White. Phenomenal death doom right there. Didn't make it into my top, but it's definitely worth mentioning. Nobody's mentioning Sludge.
Sludge. That was in my to mention list.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was so fucking weird and so cool.
Yes. Yeah.
But I didn't. I listened to it a bunch when it first came out, and I really liked it. And then I just kind of moved on.
Other stuff was just better. It was really good, but other stuff was better.
It's really interesting. And I think that that's the important thing about it, is that it was bizarre.
Yeah.
And there's
bizarre in a good way.
It seems like, but it was also like kind of like pure old school death metal. And like every so often, like a band will come along that makes death metal sound alien, like truly alien. Sometimes Morbid Angel did that, mm-hmm. where it sounded like something otherworldly. Demi-Lich sounded mm-hmm. like something from an alternate dimension. This was getting into that territory where it's like, what the fuck are they doing? Like, it's clearly death metal, but it's like breaking all of the conventions of
right
what you expect riffs and songs and all this stuff to be.
Yeah.
And it was interesting, and I want to go back and listen to it more. It's kind of similar along those lines. I had as far as stuff that really caught my attention, I just didn't have the time to really digest it.
Yep.
Abhorrence. Anybody check out this album?
Mm-mm.
Just solid, good death metal. Just brutal, good riffs.
They've been around for a while, haven't they?
I think so. I'm not real familiar with them. This album was called Megalohydrothalassophobic.
I've never heard of it.
Real mouthful.
I did listen to that.
What did you think?
Oh, I only took a pass through it. It was on like a playlist of things I needed to get around to eventually.
Right.
So
that was me too. It was on a playlist with other stuff, but every time a song from it came up, I was like, fuck, this is good. And I never sat down with it.
I just remembered that album title. I didn't remember the band name. So I'll have to go back and listen to it.
I had that one. Sludge, like we just talked about. So this one I had in my honorable mentions on a technicality. If this album had come out 2 months after it did, it would have been in the 2018 calendar year, and it would have been on my list. Moonspell 1755. Listen to it a lot this year.
Yeah.
A lot.
I listened to Moonspell a shit ton after I saw them live at that.
That was a great show.
That show, yeah.
They were maybe my favorite performance.
They were my favorite performance that night, yeah. Absolutely.
So they were there. A band I found called Night Verses. Album was from the Gallery of Sleep. Anybody heard this
one?
It's mm-mm. kind of instrumental, progressive, post-metal.
Okay.
It's real weird. They get real, real proggy and noodly, but there's like no vocals. There's some spoken word stuff that like sound clips that get played in the background. It's mm-hmm. it's kind of bizarre, but I really like it. It you know, scratches a proggy noodly itch for sure if you like that kind of thing.
Who doesn't?
One that I listened to a lot this year, but didn't make the cut for me, and I'm gonna butcher this band name. I think it's Norwegian. Seger som leder mot slutet. They are.
Say it again.
Seger som leder mot slutet.
Okay, I've never heard of this.
The album is just two, like the Roman numeral two.
Oh, that's wimping out.
Yeah.
Is it their first album?
It's not.
Oh.
It's not their second one either.
Okay.
It's post metal, atmospheric kind of stuff. I'm a sucker for that kind of thing. This was one of those that came out this year that I just listened to a whole lot. In that same vein, Somali Yacht Club's The Sea was really good.
Who?
Somali Yacht Club.
Oh, okay. That's what
and
I thought you
I
said.
I hadn't heard of them before either, but they had a pretty cool like post-metal album that came out.
You're a little more into post-metal, post-metal.
I really
stuff
like
than
that
me.
Sound.
Yeah.
I really like, I just kind of get into it. I like the atmosphere of it. Homford.
Yes.
That was a good doom album.
It's on my list too.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that kind of runs through the ones that I wanted to mention.
I still have a few more on my list. In Vain, the album Currents. Not the entire album is great.
It was happy. It was
but there's a really good song on there. One of my favorite songs of the year is that Secrets of the Truth that's on that album. Phenomenal song, but the album sort of falters here and there.
So you told me about them, and I was looking for them, and I downloaded a band called Vane, which is not the same as Vane. It's a pirate metal band, and it's super cheesy, and it's kind of awesome, but also kind of terrible. So if you're looking for something that kind of like falls in those lanes, check them out.
Apostle of Solitude from Gold to Ash, another album that's not – the entirety of the album is not amazing, but one of my favorite songs of the year is Ruination from that album. It's amazing, like sludgy doom metal. I really like the new Alice in Chains.
I didn't listen to it
Rainier Fog.
I didn't listen to it near enough. I'm a big Alice in Chains fan, and I just didn't spend the time with it, so
it's,
I didn't talk
about it. It's a little bit more doomy, a little bit more, when I want to say sludgier, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a great album. Probably nobody here knows this band, but Freak Kitchen.
I know who Freak Kitchen
put
is.
Put a new album out, Confusion to the Enemy.
That last album was actually pretty entertaining. I liked it pretty well.
They are. This album is just as entertaining. Not as good. It's catchy.
Usually like the kind of and it seems like a thing that happens with prog metal in particular, where they try to be really funny with it. Like they try to be like really clever.
Mm-hmm.
Usually falls flat for me, and I don't generally care for it. But that Freak Kitchen album was like tongue in cheek enough.
Yes.
That I actually enjoyed the humor in it a lot more.
That's what I like about them. You're right. They're totally tongue in cheek. There's a song on this album. I don't remember the name, but they use. Like when you put your phone next to electronics and it makes that beeping sound, they've utilized that as a basis of their song.
Mm-hmm.
So go from there. But the great guitar playing, you know, just fun, catchy songs. And so this newer band that I really liked, War Kings, we played them on like the last episode.
Yeah.
I need to give the album more, but the album's called Reborn. We talked about them a lot on the last episode. Here's Manimal. Ready for Manimal?
Right.
Manimal Purgatorio. Horrible band name, but great fucking quality power metal band. Nobody's mentioned Alkaloid.
The only reason that I didn't, because you recommended them to me, I was listening to the album prior.
Okay.
The Malkuth Grimoire.
Yeah.
That album's fucking awesome. And I got so into it that I forgot to check out the new one. So I haven't really – I'm going to because I really, really like that album. After you recommended him to me, I think I got home. You recommended him to me, and on the drive home, I listened to it. And I texted you when I got home. I said that it was like if Devin Townsend and God – I can't remember what it said, but it was like this weird mix of like competing teams. On each team, there was a prog metal and a death metal band.
Yeah.
And then another prog metal and a death metal band, and they were fighting with each other, and Frank Zappa was moderating the whole thing. That's what the album fucking sounds like, and it's incredible.
It sounds wild.
It's bizarre.
It definitely has
super cool.
If you know the band Cynic, it has that kind of sound to it. The vocalist sounds like Andy Daris when he does clean stuff from Halloween.
Yeah.
It's such a good album. Any more people need to get into it, but it's not the best album of the year. Then my last two, we've already mentioned both of these, Ghost and Uwata. I enjoyed both of these albums. I didn't enjoy the Ghost as much as you guys apparently. But
a lot of it was the exposure. The more I listened to it, the more I found in it that I liked.
Okay.
I agree with that.
When I first listened to it, I didn't love it either, but it was on the repeated listenings that I found more and more layers. And I think that Tobias Forge is probably one of my favorite creative individuals working right now because of the amount of apparent care that he puts into the thought and the whole story and image and everything. Like, I don't feel like it's thrown together. I feel like he's really got intention. There's reasons why he does everything.
Oh, so. I did forget to mention Between the Buried and Me, Automata 1 and 2.
I was also going to mention one other one, Nervosa, Downfall of Mankind. Did anybody listen to that?
No.
Nervosa, I think I did.
Sounds familiar.
It shouldn't be noteworthy, But it is noteworthy. It is an all-girl thrash metal band from, like, Brazil.
I've heard this band,
something.
Yeah.
I didn't listen.
I listened to
them. It was Brazil or, I can't remember, some South America somewhere, I think.
Yeah.
I'm not remembering exactly. Solid thrash metal album. Really enjoyed it. Worth checking out.
You guys have any runner-ups or anything that's fallen off the list?
I mean, the only two, because the 1914 album you recommended to me a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I haven't spent enough time with that. It's so brand new.
That one, and then the one, the Elderwind album, The Colder the Night.
I need to check that out. That
album
fun.
Is special. If I had gotten to that earlier, that might have been in the top 10 easy. So,
what about you, Justin?
I said a bunch of mine already. Yeah. There was one I didn't mention. I discovered a band called Obscura.
Oh, yeah.
That album was really good.
Diluvium? Yes. Yeah, that was really good. But aside from that, I think it's pretty much everything I mentioned. The new Chemist album was pretty solid,
yes,
too.
Yes, Chemist. That's a great one, too.
I liked it more than I liked anything else they've done, but yeah. I have a block with that band I can't get past for some reason.
If I'm not mistaken, I think one of the guys that used to be in Obscura is now in Alkaloid. He started that band.
Okay.
Which makes sense. If I'm wrong, I think that's what I've read before. Anybody have any live albums of the year that...
I generally don't listen to live albums. I very rarely, like, I have a few in my, like, collection or whatever that I like, but for the most part, I don't listen to
live
albums.
I didn't have time for live albums.
Yeah, me neither.
There's a couple that hit hard for me. The Arion Universe, which came out earlier in the year, which is basically their greatest hits live, was the entire, everybody that's been in the band. The Devin Townsend Project, Ocean Machine Live, phenomenal. It's a beautiful Blu-ray. Anthrax, Kingdom.
I knew it.
What?
Because you said what was the first one? You said Devin.
Arion.
And then I was like, oh, the next one will probably be like a Devin thing. Devin. And I was like, well, the next one's gonna be Anthrax. I knew. I can read you like a book sometimes.
What's my next one then?
Amorphis. I don't know.
No, they didn't put a live
Stephen
album.
Wilson.
Yep, that's exactly right. Stephen Wilson, and then the Amon Amarth, The Pursuit of Vikings.
Yeah.
Which is like their whole fucking career live. It's pretty great.
Hmm.
That's it. That's it for me.
So yeah, it's, we're not big on the live albums over here.
I'd rather if I'm gonna enjoy a band live in my house, if they're not actually going to be there, I want a DVD or something. I want to see them.
Yeah,
yeah.
So
I meant live representation, not just like okay. live CD, right. like Blu-rays. I don't just listen to live CDs, except like on Spotify, I'll make a playlist or something, but
yeah, live albums, you know, for like my favorite bands, I'll indulge in a live album,
mm-hmm.
but I start to question their meaning now.
It doesn't mean
a lot to me though.
We have to do this every time we do a Rewind episode. We do need to talk about some of the musicians that we've lost this year. I do have a list here. So first, most important, January, Fast Eddie Clark passed away, former guitarist of Fastway and Motorhead. Alfred Morris III, do you remember the doom band Iron Man? Dave Holland, former drummer of Judas Priest, passed away in January. Killjoy, remember Necrophagia?
Yeah.
He was a great guy. I actually used to deal with him back in the day with... back when I was doing the fanzine Mainstream Resistance, and he owned a label back in the day. He worked for a label, I think. Tim Calvert, former guitar player from Nevermore and Forbidden. I guess we could say Ben Graves. He was a former drummer from Dope and Murder Dolls. If you remember that. Josh Martin, guitar player of Anal Cunt. I think everybody in that band is gone now, maybe? I don't know.
Oh, wow.
Ralph Santola. This was bad.
Yeah.
Former guitar player, Iced Earth, DSI, Death, Obituary, suffered a heart attack and then fell into a coma. He was 51. This one was crazy. Vinnie Paul.
Yeah. That was a shocker, I think.
Brett Hoffman, former vocals from Malevolent Creation, passed away at the age of 51 in July. Did y'all know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, some of these I'm like, I don't even remember hearing this.
Yeah,
you know?
A lot of the ones you've said so far, I've been like, I didn't hear about that.
The guitarist and vocalist from Manila Road, Mark the Shark Shelton, passed away.
That one sucked.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Wizard.
Yep, the one you were making fun of earlier.
what a dick.
Randy Rampage, former vocalist of Annihilator, yeah. One of my favorite albums from them. Jill Janis from Huntress passed away. We've talked about that before. If we're missing anybody, I apologize to everybody, too. Richard Bateman, formerly bassist of Nasty Savage. I'm not a big fan of All That Remains, but Ole Herbert passed away, and there's still, last I heard, there was a investigation into his death still. Is that correct?
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah.
There was potentially some foul play involved with his wife.
Yeah.
I think.
Supposedly, it's nothing been confirmed yet. Willie Lang, bass player from Law's Rocket and Dublin Death Patrol. Todd Use, former guitar player from Agnostic Front, Murphy's Law, in Danzig. Eric, here is the last one. Eric Lindmark, vocalist and guitar player from Deed to Flesh.
The one that really got me was Dolores O'Riordan, Cranberries. That one gutted me. I felt that one for a few days. Yeah.
Yeah. See, I remember seeing them live. Took my niece or my god sister actually to see them when they played like at the Summit or something. I don't remember who they're playing with.
I never got to. I wanted to.
It was cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that does it for our 2018 rewind. You can turn into Metal Geeks on the next episode. We'll be talking about some of this stuff, but we'll be talking more about video games and movies and TV shows and that kind of stuff. But thank you guys for hanging out and talking about your favorite albums of this year.
Yeah.
Do you want to let's do our social media place? We'll start with Justin.
If you'd like to check out my other show, it's Mind Fudge Comedy Podcast. It's available at mindfudgecomedy.com or on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, pretty much anywhere podcasts are. If you'd like to follow me on social media, I am at ComicalJC pretty much everywhere. And if you'd like to check out my comic book, it's available at graybearcomics.com, and that's graybearcomics.com.
I'm at The Metal Pigeon and at The Metal Pigeon on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, metalpigeon.com.
You can find me at Red Viking Dave on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest. I post artwork on Pinterest every so often, so it happens.
If you're on Pinterest, look for him. Of course, you can find this show, MSRcast, on all the social medias, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at MSRcast. You can find us on our website at metalgeeks.net. You can find us on, of course, all the places that you get your podcast from, the iTunes. You can get it from Stitcher, now Spotify, all that cool stuff. And, of course, I think that's it, right?
That's almost it.
What else do we have?
Well, I'm going to let Dave do it this time.
Oh.
Oh, am I doing the sign off?
Yeah.
Do we keep it metal over here? Keep it metal?
Yeah.
We definitely keep it metal. All right. Thank you for, an amazing 2018.
Bye.
Bye.
For listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.